All right, turn with me to John 18. John chapter 18. We'll read the first 9 verses of John 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with the disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you again today. And Lord, we are few in number, but we seek a blessing as though we had thousands here. Lord, would you bless us mightily tonight? Would you send your Spirit into this place and open up this word? And would you let us see our King? That's our prayer. Lord, we desire to see our Lord high and lifted up. Lord, would you please do for every congregation what we're asking right now. Lord, we are all beggars. We are all in need. And we need your help desperately. So, Lord, would you please help us and help our brethren. And we have so many loved ones who are traveling right now. They're on the road right now. Lord, would you watch over them and hedge them about. And bring them back safely, if it be thy will. We pray, Lord, that you will be with this conference that we're going to have. Be with our brothers as they prepare for this. Lord, would you use this and bless this? Would you open up someone's eyes who has never seen the glory of the coming of the Lord? Lord, would you please work mightily, we pray. Help us, Lord, and teach us and comfort us and don't leave us to ourselves. Lord, we are nothing but sin. And we're so sorry for all of our failings towards you, Lord. So please help us. We thank you for all things. Thank you for all of our answered prayer. And Lord, we thank you for giving us a place to come together right now. We thank you for each other. We thank you for Christ. We ask all these things in his name. Amen. All right, turn with me to 62, and let's stand together one more time. 62. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown Him the Lord of love. Behold His hands and side. Rich wounds yet visible above in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight. But downward bends His wandering eye at mystery so bright. Crown Him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for those He came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown Him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, with the Spirit through Him given from yonder glorious throne. To Thee be endless praise, for Thou for us hast died. Be Thou, O Lord, through endless days adored and magnified. You may be seated. Don't you love the majesty of the Lord? The glory, the majesty. He's our King. Turn with me back to John 18. A few weeks ago, we've been going through John 17 for a few weeks. And a few weeks ago, we looked at being one with Christ. One with Him. And in that message, we focused on chapter 17, verse 11, and verse 20 to the end of the chapter. And I want us to read verse 20 to the end of the chapter 17 one more time. And I want us to keep in mind this oneness that we have with Christ while we look at chapter 18 tonight. All right, so chapter 17, verse 20. Our Lord said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. We believe on Him through their word. That they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. And the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that Thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me. For Thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Our Lord is saying, this is my will for them. This is my will, that we may be one. And if that's His will, that's exactly what's going to happen. We are going to be one. So chapter 18, verse 1 says, when Jesus had spoken these words, He went forth with His disciples over the brook Cedron, or Kedron, where was a garden, into the which He entered and His disciples. He went over this brook, Kedron, sometimes it's spelled with a K. And He went into a garden. There was a garden there. And do you know what that garden was? What garden He went into? It was Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane. John does not mention that. He does not mention that. Turn with me to Mark 14. Mark 14. Look at verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And He saith to His disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And He taketh with Him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And He went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from Him. Peter, James, and John. Now, of Matthew, who's also called Levi, and of Mark, and of Luke, and of John, John was one of the three that actually got to go be with the Lord and watch Him suffer. Peter, James, and John. John was best suited to write about that event. He would have been the best one of all the Gospels to write about what he personally witnessed in that garden. He does not mention a word of it. Not one word. He does not say one word about the Lord falling on the ground and saying, oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Not one word. He doesn't say one word about how troubled the Lord was. How exceeding sorrowful unto death He was when He watched the sin of all God's people be pressed into His body. He didn't say one word about it. He didn't write one word of Him sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. Not one word. One thing consumed John as he watched every bit of that. One thing consumed him. That is God Almighty. That's God Almighty. Is that not amazing? That's God Almighty. The other Gospels show us the suffering man. The perfect man who took our place. After John saw this with his own two eyes, all he could say about it was, that's the sovereign God. That's God Almighty. He didn't write about the Lord falling on the ground before His Father. This is what he wrote about. Sinful man falling on the ground before Him. Isn't that something? After everything he saw, the only thing he could pen is, no man takes his life from him. No man takes his life from him. They killed Jesus. Oh, no, they didn't. No, they did not. That's the Almighty God. No man takes his life from him. Now, go with me back to John 18. Verse 1 says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron. The name means dark waters. What a picture that is. Our Lord, he crossed the river of death first. This is what's about to take place. We're going to cross the river of death. Dark waters. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Now, I have a side note in this message. I think it's clear which direction we're going with this message, but I want to point this out. There's a reference right here in that verse to Luke chapter 21. Turn with me over there to Luke 21, talking about our Lord often resorting to this place. Luke 21. Verse 37 says, talking about our Lord, in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. I thought about that for a minute. In the daytime, he went into that temple and he taught. And then at night, he went back to the garden, back to the Mount of Olives. And nothing about his life said, this is my continuing city. He did not have a place to lay his head. He didn't have a place. I thought about him going back at the end of the day. I'm sure he taught while there were 12 hours in the day. Then he'd go back and he would sit down, find him his spot. Common ground. And commune with his Father and wait on tomorrow. And he had no place to lay his head. His disciples were there with him. They all had food. They all had raiment. It just caused me to realize we can get by on a lot less than we think we can. Our Lord didn't even say, I'm so thankful we all have houses, and if you lose yours, come to mine. But our Lord never said, having a house, be content. He said, having food and raiment, be content. He and his disciples were. And we would be a lot happier if the Lord would make us content to be that way. If we have things, great. But if we don't, that's fine. Proverbs 15:16 says this, if we could really enter into this, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. It's just better. It's just better. That the fewer bills I have to pay, the more time I can think about the Lord. It's just better. So back to the text. In John 18, verse 1 says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. John writes in verse 4, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him. This is God. He was not surprised. He was not ambushed. This is God. He was waiting on them. He actually was bringing them. He walked out to them. Verse 4 says, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am. He is in italics. That was added by the translator. He said, I am. He said, Whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth, not Jesus the Christ. We're seeking a man. We are looking for a man. Our Lord responded by telling them, Be it known unto you all. Make sure everybody knows this man that you seek is God Almighty. I am. I am. You're about to lay hands on Jehovah. You think about that. You're about to grab Jehovah. Just so you know. Moses, thousands of years before that, or however long it was, asked him, this same one that said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He was very happy when I met him in the doorway of his tent. Moses said to him, this actual person in John 18, Who should I say sent me? And he said, You tell them I am hath sent you. So verse 4, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Now, can you imagine what his voice sounded like at that moment in time? I am all the time wondering what his voice sounds like. It's just something I personally wonder a lot. I know that to those whom he loves, he said to Elijah one time, he spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. That's what it says. In a still, small voice. But those who think that they're going to have their way with God, they're going to do what they want to with God, they're in for a rude awakening. A very rude awakening. A band of men, Judas gathered a band of men, that is the tenth part of a legion, which is 600 men. A legion is 6,000 men. In just a little bit, our Lord, and next week we'll probably see our Lord said, Don't you realize I could call 12 legions of angels? 72,000 angels right now. So a tenth of a legion is 600 men he gathered together. And when our Lord, the one who did just suffer, the one who did cry to his Father, the one who did sweat drops of blood, when he said, I am, 600 men all fell back like trees and they were pinned to the ground. 600 like dominoes. Go with me to Psalm 29. The Lord is Jesus Christ. That's who the Lord is. Psalm 29, verse 1 says, Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. They run. They get out. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flame of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest in his temple. Doth every one speak of his glory? This is God. This is God. I would imagine that he showed them his Godship at that moment in time. You want to see who you're dealing with? I am. Boom. He speaks and worlds are created. All he has to do is speak and worlds are created. He speaks and men live or die. He speaks and graves are opened. No man takes his life from him. Right here, verse 10, the Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. This is God Almighty. His disciples kept saying to him, Lord, don't go back to Jerusalem. Please don't. They're going to kill you. Kill me. You can't kill God Almighty. You can't kill God Almighty. No man takes his life from him. Go with me back to John 18. Verse 6, John 18, verse 6, as soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And their blind eyes and their blind hearts said again, Jesus of Nazareth, verse 7. We're still seeking a man. We still believe you are just a man. Verse 8, Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Now, I began this message by saying, let's remember that we are one with him. And in what he said right there, there are two things that we can take some comfort in. We can take a spiritual comfort from this, and we can take a physical comfort from this. He said, I told you that I am. This is God speaking. This is God speaking. For our spiritual comfort, he said, if you seek me, let these go. If you seek me, here's your condition. You can have me, but you have to let these go. If I'm taken captive, they must go free. I mean absolutely free. If I die, they must live. That's the condition. If we were not one with Christ, that would be an impossible transaction. Had Christ just let us go, God would not be just. We're the sinners. You can't just let sinners go. You can't just open all the prisons and all the jails and say, run for it. That's not just. God cannot clear the guilty. Justice must be upheld. It must. As a sinner against God, I cannot just walk away. I can't. The judge must do right. And here's what that means. I must die. Christ must live. He has to. He's just. Because though we are one with him, actually, physically, one with him. He bore our infirmities because all of our infirmities were united with him. He was made sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He bore our infirmities. We bore his perfection because of that union. He said, being one, I'll trade places with you. I'll die, you'll live. So he says right here in verse 8, if you seek me, let these go their way. Now here's our physical comfort. No man can take his life from him. No man can take his life from him. Because we are one with him, no man can take our life from us. It cannot happen. Not without his permission. And if they kill the body, then we're to be absent from this body is just to be present with the Lord. But even if we just keep it on a physical level, no man can take our life from us. I have a door in my basement. It has a lock and a deadbolt on it. And above that are two single pane windows. They're not even double pane windows. And every single time I lock it, we've been living in that house for almost 2 years. Every time I lock it, I think it would take literally, I turn the handle like that, and I turn the deadbolt like that, and I think it would take absolutely nothing to break this and reach your hand in and unlock these. It's so pointless. Every time I do it, I think I ought to just leave the door open. Well, here's some physical comfort. No man can take, because of my union with Christ, no man can take my life from me without his absolute permission. We are physically kept by the power of God. We've seen his power. We've seen it. All he has to do is speak and men fall back like trees. Chapter 17, verse 24, our Lord said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You love me. Verse 26, he said, I've declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. There are a lot of fears in this world. There are a lot of fearful men in this world. But our Lord said, don't be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. You're going to see it on the news, and it's going to really upset you. 1,000 will fall at your side. 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee, not without the permission of God Almighty. If it does, it's his mercy and grace and love to pull you out of this mess. And the reason is because we're one with Christ. It's only because of Christ, not because we're special, not because we're worthy. It's because we're one with Christ. Look at the rest of that chapter, and we'll close with this. Go to Psalm 91. Let's read the last few verses. Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verse 9 says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Are you saying that God's people, they're just, all they have to do is call on the Lord and they're never going to die? And no. Well, you said no pestilence is going to come to them. No. My mother passed away from cancer. Well, what then? What's the deal with that? The Lord in mercy gave my mother cancer to deliver her from this wicked, evil world. And he has honored her with long life, a really long life, an eternal life in Christ. And everything for her is well. It is well with her soul. It is good. it's wonderful. And until the Lord moves, until He decrees, whatever it is appointed unto man once to die. We're all going to die from whatever He appoints. But until He appoints that, nothing is going to happen to God's people. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We can hold on to that. We can live the rest of our lives believing that. And it's all because of Christ. Every bit of it. It's all true because of Christ. He loves us. He gave Himself for us. He keeps us. He protects us. All right, let's stand together.